Good morning, church. Hope you're all doing well. It is a blessing to be gathered together once again today to worship our Lord. Before we jump into our text, I got a couple things I want to bring your attention to. And so as I get ready to do that, I just have to ask, don't check out just yet. I know that announcements are like everyone's favorite thing in the entire church service. And so that's why we're putting it here at the front. Seriously, there are some real important things and really good things coming up that I want to draw your attention to. One of them is something we mentioned last week, and it's missions trips. You know, we talked last week about wanting to be a church that does the will of God. Well, there is few things that we know are as guaranteed to be a part of that as taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So as a result of that, we offer multiple short-term mission trips every year. We've got some going to Kenya, Guatemala, Honduras, and a variety of other places. And I want to encourage you, whether you've been on a mission trip before, whether you've never been before, or you're one of those that has kind of thought about it, but you've never really taken that dive, I really want to encourage you to just pray about that as we kind of come near our application deadline. After the service, we've got a table out that has all of the trips, some folks out there to talk to you about those. And listen, as one who has personally experienced it on multiple occasions, and I've seen it in the lives of many of God's people, missions is one of the things that challenges and presses a person forward in their faith more than just about anything else. And so I highly, highly encourage you to go on one of those. Also, we've got a lot of cool things coming up here in the next few months and next few weeks. One of those is IF Gathering. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of IF Gathering, but IF Gathering is a great opportunity. It's a women's conference. It's a simulcast, and it is a fantastic opportunity to come as a lady and hear just some amazing, godly, deep and rich theological teaching for women specifically. But even more important than that, we're really leveraging this time as an opportunity to connect ladies in our church. And so if you haven't already done so, you need to go register for that gathering, because it really will be a fantastic opportunity here at the church. And it's on February 9th and 10th, and really important. Also, just be mindful of our equipping classes. There's a lot there that's beneficial, and really encourage you to take part in those things. I'll actually be talking about some of those specific ones later on today. I got two more. One is Upward Basketball. Don't forget to register your children for Upward Basketball. It's such an important outreach for our church and such a valuable ministry. And then lastly is our Next Step class, which is our membership class. We're holding that next week. If you want to know more about what Central is all about, what membership is, that's the class you need to go to. We do need you to register that, because we offer childcare and lunch. So you made it through announcements, all right? So now let's turn our attention to God's word. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 21 through 33. And if you would, just stand with me out of respect for God's word. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife should love himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, thank you so much, as we've already prayed, for the opportunity to gather together in this morning, where we can worship and celebrate you as one body, for you have done a work in each of us, and so we're grateful for that. We recognize, Lord, as we now turn to your word, that it is your spirit that leads us into truth, and so we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, Father, that you might do in us what you can do and what you see fit in each of us. And so, Father, we give this time to you. We ask for your favor and your blessing upon it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So, here we go. There's like absolutely no landmines to dodge in this text, is there? Like submitting and husbands and wives. I mean, like there's no potential challenges in this text at all. And so let me just start off as we enter into this topic with something very controversial. Okay, so I'm going to say make a statement that's very, very controversial. So are you ready for it? Okay, here we go. Women, and it doesn't stop there. It's okay. Women and men are different. Right. You'd think that's not very controversial. Yet, if you look at our culture and what the culture would say to us, that is a very controversial statement. And so when we come to a text like this one in the scriptures, I mean, this is a very difficult topic in our day and age. It's one that's very hard to talk about. It's one that has a lot of baggage to it. It's one that can be very hurtful to a lot of people and can really be a polarizing thing. And so for us as believers in Jesus Christ, what we want to make sure that we are doing is that we're not people who are aligning ourselves with culture or tradition, but we're aligning ourselves with the Word of God, that we are biblical thinkers, that we are looking at the Bible to tell us how we should live, not the world around us. And when you're dealing with an issue like this, like you have a really broad spectrum of understanding and belief on it. Like on one side of it, you've got this kind of activism group in feminism, which wants to eradicate every distinction between men and women. And listen, we can be honest and say there were some good things that have come out of that movement. But on that's kind of this side of the spectrum. On this side of the spectrum, way over here, you've got a whole other world, which is kind of that ultra-patriarchal type of society, which would seek to keep women oppressed and down and control, and that's negative and bad as well. And so in that, now we have to look at the Bible and say, what is it that you would have us believe? What is it that you would have us say and be as the body of Christ as Paul enters into this? And I know that this issue gets into a lot of different things in regards to teaching and how much should women teach in the church and all those kinds of things. Listen, I'll just be honest, we're not dealing with that today because Paul isn't dealing with it in this text. Paul's dealing with the family, and so that's where we're going to sit. And so the reality of it is our culture is trying to erode those distinctions that have been made, whereas the scriptures would seek to celebrate those distinctions. And so when we get into this topic, when we get into this kind of issue of wives and husbands and how they should interact with one another, one of the things we need to start doing is we need to start by defining terms. All right, because our culture wants to define terms for us and not let the scriptures do it. And so as we move into that, I do want to make a real quick statement. And it's this, like, I know there's a lot of you in this room that there aren't married, that you're single. And let me just ask, please do not like just check out because this is about married people, because these are the things that you need to know now to prepare you for those steps that you will take one day. And so if you're single, this message is just as much for you as it is for those of us who have stepped into the married world. And so just please, please be mindful of that reality. And so as we do turn our attention now to the idea of kind of defining terms, I already mentioned, like, we're different. Men and women are different. We think different, we communicate different, we approach relationships often different. That's why we have books that are called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, if you've ever heard of it. It's why Hollywood promotes movies that are called what? Chick flicks, right? Because they know that there's certain movies that typically bend towards the female population. Although, let's be honest, that those categories and those distinctions are not always the same. Like, that doesn't include everybody, that there's some that really like chick flicks. I happen to be one sometimes. It doesn't necessarily mean it, but what we do know is that over the whole, you can see that men and women are very different, that we think and see the world in very different ways. And so one of the questions we've got to ask is, where does that come from, right? Does that come from culture, or does that come from somewhere else? Well, look at the scriptures. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 18 says this. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." I'm going to stop. That's just a small verse, but it is loaded, right? And here's why. One of the things that we oftentimes look at, especially when we think of Adam and Eve, is we think of perfection. Let me just, what this verse is saying and communicating to us is Adam's not perfect. Now, morally, yes, right? Like, he hasn't sinned at this point, but when it comes to perfection, only one being is perfect, amen? Like, that's God the Father. Like, that is God in Trinity. That is fully in and of himself, full and complete, full knowing, all powerful. He is perfect. Adam is actually the first part of creation that when God looks at, he says, oh, something's not right, right? I heard some women giggle. I don't know why. But they did. So God says, he looks at men, and what is God's response to this? He says, I will make him a helper fit for him. A helper fit for him. Like, when we hear, like, that word helper, we kind of shudder, don't we? I think that we do, because I think we get these images in our heads of what we think that that means, and I think some of those images are images of ladies carrying trays of drinks to guys. I think we get images in our head of women doing the laundry and making meals, and here's the deal. That's an image our culture wants to impress on us. It's not necessarily biblical, because biblically speaking, helper doesn't mean servant, right? And so when we look at that, you want to know who is called more than anybody else in Scripture, helper? God. Isaiah 41 talks about God saying that he will help Israel. David says multiple times in the Psalms that God is his help. Hebrews says that the Lord is our help. And Jesus, our Lord, says he will send a helper, speaking of the third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit. So we know helper does not mean servant. What we know is helper actually signifies something different. And if you go back to that story of Adam and Eve, you know what it signifies is that Adam has some deficiencies. Men have some deficiencies. Amen? All right? I only heard one guy say it, but we have some deficiencies. And so what we need is a helper to help us in those deficiencies. Like, that's not a negative term. It's like, lady, if you're called a helper, you're in fantastic category because you're with God, right? And what we're saying is that we need help. We have challenges. We see the world in different ways. With my wife, one of the things that we do oftentimes when we get into decisions is the conversation typically goes very similar over and over again, is that when we start thinking about doing something, I start bringing out things like dollar signs and planning and whether that's good or bad. And I think about all the logistics of how that decision is going to play out. Whereas my wife thinks about value, right? And she comes and brings to me the value of things. She comes and reminds me that sometimes there's things that are worth sacrificing for, that sometimes planning isn't always according to God's plan, right? That was an interesting word choice there. But anyway, but she brings that to me, and she helps me be a more well-rounded person, and she helps me in areas that I am weak, or frankly, in areas that I'm just bad at. And so she is my helper. Listen, men, in your relationships with your wives, like, if you are wanting to make decisions in and of yourself without going to the women in your life for counsel, either one, you're prideful and you don't recognize that you are not complete in and of yourself and you have a lot of deficiencies, or you're just not living wisely. Because the reality of it is she's going to see things very, very differently than you do. And you need that as a help to fill up your deficiencies, right? And so now one of the other terms that we need to talk about is the one that Paul uses in this text, and it's the word submit, submission. Such a fun word. Don't we love that term? Listen to how Google Trend, or what their definition is of submission. It is accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority of will of another person. That right there is why we don't like a submission, right? Because when we think of submission in our culture, what we're looking at is superior versus inferior. That's what we think. That's the picture in our mind. We get this picture in our mind of like the dog rolling over and submitting. Listen, that is not the biblical picture. That's not the biblical picture. And here's why we know. As we've talked about in this study on Ephesians, Jesus is always our example for everything, right? And so look what Jesus does. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you're probably familiar with this. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, hear what Jesus says. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is submitting to the Father. Now here's what we know. By Jesus submitting to the Father does not decrease his value. It does not decrease his worth. It does not decrease his power. It does not decrease his eminence. It does not decrease his sovereignty. It does not decrease anything of who he is, because as believers in Jesus Christ, we believe in a Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, absolutely all aspects of the Trinity, fully God. And so Jesus, by submitting to the will of the Father, is not acknowledging that he is inferior to the Father. Therefore, if Jesus is our example and this is what we're called to be, then women, like, you're in good company again with Christ. And submitting does not mean inferiority. So what does it mean? It simply means that there's order and that there's leadership and that there's movement in the family that way. I love how Paul, when you look at this text, I love how he starts it. And the reason I read verse 21 is because we got to keep this in mind first, right? Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Like, you submit to one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ first, right? So here's how this plays itself out. We talked about last week that as a church, we want to be a people, individuals, men and women who are about the will of God. And the will of God is to seek and save the lost, to extend his kingdom, to live as light in this world. And that is what we want to be. We want to be according to the will of God. We're both, men and women, are submitting ourselves to that will. And then in that, we both seek to submit to one another in love for one another. Now, as a man and a woman come together in marriage and become one flesh, that one flesh is seeking to do the same thing, right? They're seeking to pursue the same thing, which is the will of God. And simply in that, what we're seeing is that there is headship, there is leadership. When it comes down to those things, that there is an order in it. It doesn't have anything to do with value, has nothing to do with inequality. And what we have to see, men, for us, is that when we think about headship, in Christ's example that Paul gives for the church, submission is birthed out of the way that Jesus loved. Did you hear that? Submission is birthed out of the way that Jesus loved. And how did Jesus love the church? He gave himself up for it. He gave himself up for the church. Men, let me talk real quickly to you. And I want to be blunt with you. If you as a man are utilizing these texts to ignore the advice of women in your life, to seek to subjugate them, to justify abuse, to justify neglect, to justify selfishness, to justify tyranny, you are a coward and you are weak and you are in sin. That's the reality of it. Because these verses are actually quite the opposite of all of those things I just mentioned. And women, if you are in a relationship that has those characteristics to it, I just tell you, dear sisters, get out. And I'm not saying you need to go get divorced immediately. What I'm saying is you need to separate from that and you need to run to your body of faith, your community of faith, your church, and step into that and let them come help both your husband and the marriage. But you do not need to stay under that abuse and tyranny simply because someone quotes a scripture to you out of context. That is not what this passage is meaning. And so headship should exemplify Christ's headship, which is characterized by love. And a few weeks ago, we had a whole sermon on that, but it simply is this: any love from a husband that is not self-sacrificing, that does not put the needs of his wife above his own, and does not see her as better than himself, does not serve her, isn't patient, isn't kind, gentle, humble, forgiving, slow to anger, it isn't love. It isn't love. And that's what the call is for us as men, is to be those kind of men. Yes, strong, but loving. Husbands, being the head of the family is not glorious. And it is not something that we should lord over our wives. The reality of it is that being the head of a home and being the head of a family is about self-serving. It is not self-serving in any way. It's about self-giving. It's about dying to yourself. It's about exemplifying what Christ has done for his church, which is he died for it. And so as such, we should be dying for our families every day. The fact of the matter is that there are few things in this world that are as beautiful as a marriage that works the way God designed it to work. I love what Tim Keller says in a fantastic book called The Meaning of Marriage. He says that marriage is glorious, but it is hard. Marriage is glorious, but it is hard. And when marriages tend to go off the rails and start to become dysfunctional and hurtful is when one or both begin to seek themselves and their self-interest as opposed to fulfilling the roles God has given them. That's when marriages begin to fall apart. And I know in our day and age, like, this isn't simple, is it? Like, we have careers and we have worlds and there's nuances, and we're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. But as a church, I want to say this. We want to deeply value women and their gifts. Listen, I want my daughter to grow up. I want her to grow up in a church where she is seeing godly, theologically sound women utilizing their gifts in the church. I want her to see godly women who are wrestling with what it means to work out in the vocational and career world at the same time trying to figure out what it means to raise a family and be a part of that home. I want my daughter to be in a church that values her gifts, where she can be a part of the church and part of the mission of the church. But at the same time, I want my son to be a part of church where he sees and grows up watching men go to work every day, laboring self-sacrificially for the sake of their families, and then going home, and instead of checking out and laying on the couch, doing the same thing for their wives and their kids, pouring themselves out for their wives, serving their wives, loving their wives, dying to themselves in that relationship. I want my son to see that. That's what we want to be as a church. And we're going to do something here that's a little bit unique for us, just format-wise. And here's why. It's one thing, I think, for me to come up here and sit and stand up here and kind of tell you, and here's what it looks like, and here's why what you should do. The fact of the matter is when we're talking about relationships, there's nuances all over the place. And I think one of the best ways that we can grow is to see and hear the testimony and witnesses of those who have walked down this path, who have moved down this path and struggled with the difficulties of what that looks like. And so here in a minute, I'm going to bring up a couple of families. In fact, why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. I'm going to introduce you to these families real quick, and then we're going to spend some time just talking together as a church about what these things mean and how they actually play out practically in the home. And so while they're coming up, let me just pray for our time as we move into this section, and then we'll get going. Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that we have to come, frankly, just to hear all that you have done in the lives of these families. Father, already we've had the opportunity and just so blessed to see just your faithfulness and the fruit of what it is to live according to the design that you have given us as families. Father, and I know that the hearts of each of these that are up on stage with me this morning are to simply just be honest and to just share their stories of really the beauty of what God has done as they've kind of labored through these very difficult and challenging things, especially when it just comes to the individual. And so, Father, we just pray that you would edify your church through this time as we move into this next section. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, let me introduce you to a couple of wonderful families that that have been up here for the past couple weeks, couple services. And so there probably have been itching to share all the things that they wish they had shared in the previous services. And so let me introduce real quick. This is Talia and Patrick Penn. They've been married for 8-9 years. I got 3 kids. And then next to them, we have Joanne and Lauren Thiessen. Joanne and Lauren have been around for a while. They've been married for 36 years. They've got 6 kids and have done a lot of different marriage stuff over the years. And then we've got Stephen and Paige Floyd, been married for 7 years. And Stephen made sure that I knew that one of their favorite things is long walks on the beach and candlelit dinners. That's an important thing to know. This is just some wonderful families here. And as I mentioned already this morning in our service, and I just want to start off with, because I think it's important for everybody to understand and get really start off in the right way here, is all your marriages are perfect, right? Okay, good. So your marriages are not only perfect, but they turned out exactly the way you thought they would when you made your vows. Everybody is laughing because they know that is completely ridiculous. There's just a reality of that. As we jump into this, I want to start kind of in the same place we have over the past couple of services and really just ask the question, which is this: as you guys, in each of your own spheres, in your own lives and careers and all the different things, as you navigate kids and all of the world that God has given you, you know, ladies, for you, as you've wrestled and struggled with this idea of submission and how that practically works out in your lives and in your homes, I'd love you to hear, just to kind of share with the congregation kind of how that's worked out for you. And then men, for you, as you have gone about trying to figure out and learn and grow how to love your wives the way Christ has loved the church, same question, just practically, how are you trying to do that? And then, and not just from your perspectives, but even you know, answering for your spouses, have you watched them struggle with these things and yet at the same time fulfill those roles? So let's start with that question. Joanne's ready to go.
Pastor Darren, I just would like to share what I shared in the first service, because I think it's very important for you wives out there regarding submission. Years ago, when we lived in Hayes, Kansas, before we moved here to Wichita, we had a beautiful home, and I loved that home. And my husband came home one day and said, it was time to sell this house. And I said, no way. This is my house. I love it. We're not going to move. Well, we didn't move. 6 months later, the economy crashed, and we lost all equity of our home. Now, ladies, I just want to tell you with submission, I just like to add that your husband does want your opinion, and it's good to tell him how you feel, but you need to let the decision be made up to him. If he wants to use what you have offered, great. If not, let it go. If he falls, it doesn't work out, don't tell him, I told you so. So,
never. Bad word, always.
That's right.
Never say that in a marriage. That's on right. Either side of the equation.
That's right. Just respect him.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Okay. Steve? Yeah, I think practically speaking, a way that I have needed to improve recently is being present. You were mentioning earlier, actually not coming home and sitting on the couch or sitting around or just completely checking out, turning off the TV, turning off the phone, turning off email, and actually being present, and not just telling her that I love her, but actually making her feel loved. And so giving myself to the family and giving myself to her, not just asking, hey, how are the kids today? Because a lot of times that's a great status check for me before I get home, so that I kind of know what I'm walking into. But actually saying, taking just 1 second, saying, yeah, but how was your day? And thinking about her and putting her first.
It's always a good thought for a husband to think about wife first, right? So here's a question. You know, as we look at this, and as we mentioned last time, like this, none of these things are easy, right? I mean, I'm looking at, for the ladies up here, I mean, you guys are all bright, strong women. You've got strong opinions, amazing gifts. This idea isn't always a simple one. And for guys, you know, it's not at all easy for us as men to really love our wives the way that Christ has called us to. And so what are some of the biggest challenges that you have run into in trying to just live this out, even just personally, as you've walked through and tried to battle through those things and tried to fall in line with the way God has called us to live?
Well, first thing I would say is it is a command. It's not a suggestion in the scripture.
True.
And when we accept that and we know that that's what God wants and we want to obey God, we'll make every effort we can to love our wives and show her in every way possible. And when the wives nowadays, a lot of them are working. And when she comes home and you come home, don't hit each other with problems. Find out how their day went. And give each other a little bit of time, and then help each other, share the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, and the husband keeps showing the wife love in that way, and she'll start showing him respect. And the more respect she shows him, the more love he'll show her, and it starts to be like a snowball and keeps growing.
So, Lauren, are you saying sometimes you cook for Joanne?
Yep.
Okay, good. There you go, guys.
Hey, barbecue's great.
There you go. Barbie's good. That's great. Paige, you were getting ready to say something?
I was just going to say my natural personality is one of my biggest challenges, that I like things done last week. I like things done my way. Not necessarily I like them done my way. I think my way is the best way. And sometimes it's not, that there's more than one way to skin a cat, and recognizing that your way isn't always the wrong way. It's just different than my way, which is probably more
efficient.
She's
having trouble saying that, actually, right now. I don't know if you can see that on her face.
It's worth practicing.
It's there.
Yeah. But in addition to that, who I am, I'm born a sinner. And everything that Christ asks of me as a wife is opposite of my instinct. I'm self-serving. I can be prideful. My natural tendency is to put myself first. And so anything other than that is a challenge that I need his help for, and submission falls into that.
As we kind of talk through this, one of the things I'd love to hear is just any stories, like specific practical moments where you kind of have stepped outside of those roles, and as a result, it's caused conflict. And we said this last service, talking about this reality that, again, our culture would view these things as oppressive. They view these things as negative and bad. And what we believe as believers in Christ is that when Jesus comes and says, and God gives us a design, that really what we find is an abundant life there. And so I think sometimes one of the clearest ways to see that life is to see when we step outside of it, that things start to break apart. And so if any of you'd be willing to just be transparent enough to kind of share a moment or an experience where you know you stepped out of those bounds, where husbands, you didn't love Christ. Patrick's just like itching. He's ready to go. You didn't love your wives well, or ladies, where you didn't submit well.
Yeah, I've got plenty of those. So I'm just running through right now the whole Rolodex, which one to pick out. This time last year, holiday season last year, I failed. It was a perfect landing, but I failed, you know. I did not love Talia the right way. I was stressed, highly stressed. At that time, I was actually in the military, and I was supposed to be deploying over to Afghanistan. And before we get into that particular deployment, I wanted to take the family out and go meet her family, and everybody's in Colorado Springs, and we were just going to have a grand old time. Our family isn't, they're, I guess, nominal Christian, I would say. We have some differences of opinion on how we live out the Christian walk. All that to say, with all the stressors going on about the deployment and just a lot of different stuff, also retirement for the military could have been the other option coming up, and we didn't have a lot of time. All of those things compacting together, and like Paige, I like stuff done yesterday, and da-da-da-da-da, and you add in, not one, not two, but the third kid who's, just going crazy and stuff. So all that coming together, I showed my hand of being angry with Talia, speaking to her out of a place of anger. Everyone else and their mother saw it as well, to include her mother, her brother, and everybody else. So there was a big altercation, and I failed because I was not respecting her in my tone, in my words, and definitely not in how I saw her. I wasn't cherishing her, and no one is Christ, so don't get that message. We can't continue to always do it just the way he does, but we rely on him and his spirit to give us the strength to get as close to approximation as possible. That said, the Lord did bless that particular situation. While we had the falling out and everything, he used it as an opportunity to, have us witness to the family and get down into some touch points and talking points about how Christ loves the church, which is what marriage is a reflection of, minister to them and investigate their faith and see whether or not they were truly saved, because we are talking about the same dad, apparently. So we were grateful for that. It definitely helped us get our marriage stronger. And I had to take that time to dial back, really, and understand that as the weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that she's the worser or lesser vessel. It just means that, I think I would translate that, the finer vessel. Sure. She's like,
which is definitely true. I mean, just as I,
I'm the tin can, tin pail, you know, utility, and she's the vase. But that said, I have to respect and cherish her, and I have to be cognizant of how my personality and will and everything can hurt and damage, and what am I modeling not only to others but also to my children? Because the best way that I love them is by loving their mother well, as Christ loved the church.
And I would ask this question, and Talia, you don't have to answer this, but you know, maybe this is way for Joanne or for Paige, is when we as husbands are doing that, when we fail in that, you know, whether it's raising our tone in anger or we're being selfish and prideful and all of those different things, let me just ask, how easy is it for you then to fulfill the role God has called you to be in?
Not that easy.
Right.
Because like Patrick was saying, he's a military man through and through. And when he's at that point where, you know, I want it done yesterday and I'm going to go through the whole list of how it needs to be done, you need to execute exactly how I want it to be done, it's not the right time to voice your opinion, I've discovered over the years in those heated moments. So the best thing for us in our marriage was I had to go to God directly in prayer. How do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with it, you know, under grace and not come out of my flesh, come out of the emotion, and going back to his word. And it was difficult, but it is so amazing how God works, because when you are submissive and when you are faithful and obedient to his word and you go to him directly in prayer, sometimes within a couple of moments or hours, Patrick will come back to me and almost verbatim repeat what I just asked the Lord for and come back and apologize and, you know, pull out the word. And it's just so beautiful. And I'm so grateful mm-hmm. that God works through that, you know, through the marriage. So I found prayer is definitely definitely something that works for us. So.
Mm-hmm. I just also would like to add, Lauren and I, this is our second marriage, blended family. We have 6 kids between us. And when we got married, the youngest one was 2 and the younger one was 12. And I was a working mother as well. And we had a lot of challenges, believe me. Mm. At one time, we had 5 teenagers, and they knew it all. But we had to. What was very important.
We love you, teenagers. By the way, if you're in here, we love you.
That's true. Not only, you know, submitting to your husband and respecting him, but you need to also really love him and pray together. We prayed a lot, believe me, and it's so important to always pray together every day. We pray together when we go to bed at night. I would just really encourage you to do that, because it really helped tremendously us to get through all these kids. So they're all grown now and out of the household. They have come back with their kids. But God is so gracious. And my husband, he's a godly, godly husband. And that's what you men need to be. You need to get into the word, same as the woman.
One of the things that real quick I'd like to, I know I mentioned earlier, I know that there's a lot of you in here that are singles. And one of the things I think is just so valuable is we've all kind of walked out of that stage of life, but yet now looking back into it, I know we all have thought through, if I'd done this, or I wish I would have spent time doing these things, what would be a message or something you would like to communicate to the singles that are in the congregation in regards to some of these issues?
So I would just say, be careful what bait you're using and where you're fishing.
Did we not learn that the first service? Paige, do you need to help him again?
Yeah.
I told him last time, he had to go with the fishing service, or the fishing thing, which only works for some of us, I guess. But.
And what I said last service, I'll say again this service, is just that and don't check out, like if you're 10 or 14 or 35 and single, if you find yourself in a relationship with a person who you really think this might be the one, you know, this is not first date material, but like first year, have these questions. How do you define submission? How do you define leadership? Because when I think of a male leader, this is kind of what I'm thinking marriage is going to look like for us. And asking those questions, gals, if a guy's scared off by that, it's all right. He can let him go. It's fine. It's all right. A guy who, if you walk into marriage with some expectations on the table, you'll be more like-minded as hardships present themselves. And then the one thing I was remiss to miss last service is that you're valuable to the church in your singleness.
Mm-hmm.
You have more freedom than we have with napping stuff and food and snacks and diapers and all the things. But
oh, I thought you were talking about Steven's napping. I'm
no,
kidding.
It's my nap that's He's the priority. But, you know, if you are Good single at any age, you're valuable. You're valuable as you are. And I had a hard time trusting the Lord with those seasons of singleness.
Yep. And I will actually add on to that. We did have those tough conversations right before mm-hmm. we were married. And it's stuff that, as a guy, like, I had never thought about, but that she's been thinking about since she was 3 years old and, you know, putting on dresses and getting married. And I hadn't given it 2 seconds of thought. And those were really difficult conversations to have as you're not even really engaged at that point. We were still dating, but we started saying, we want to take this to the next level, and we want to get engaged. And so we started having those discussions, and I would just say, you know, if you're a guy out there and you're single, start thinking about those things now. Like, what are you looking for in a wife, and what does the Bible say about that? Because as you are aligning yourself with what is being said in Scripture, and your future spouse is also aligning herself, when you come together, it's going to be a lot easier in those first few years.
I would also say check the prospect's family out, because you're marrying that family.
True.
And I know my wife's just like her mom.
Oh.
That's a good thing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she can cook real well.
I'd add on to this with what Paige said to the singles in the building. Like, you are an asset to the body of Christ. And one of the big things that I would really press is, you both need, both men and women in the church that are single, need to be pressing towards deep growth in God. And that needs to be a priority in your time. And ladies, particularly for you, like, we need more deep, theological, grounded, strong women in the church. And frankly, by you being that, men, it should shame us a little bit and make us then strive to grow in that as well. And so, women, don't be ashamed of that. And don't settle for a guy who doesn't have that as part of his heart. Like, if you do, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble long turns down the road, because typically that doesn't change after you get married. Sometimes the Lord is faithful and able, and so he does do work in us, but a lot of times that you just see that happen, and then you see the one who was really striving for understanding the Lord and walking the Lord being brought down. As we kind of close our time here, I'd love to just give you guys a second and just let you have a moment to speak to your family, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and just say, hey, if there's any parting thoughts in regards to marriage and what God has done in you and things he's shown you, I'd love to give you that opportunity to share with the congregation.
All right, my turn. Intentionality. I think that Christ was intentional when he made us his mission. He stepped out of glory to make our salvation a chief mission for him coming to this earth. So when you go into marriage, whether you be single or married now, it's never too late to turn back to Christ or get in and get into him and get the word into you. Be intentional. Set that time aside. Different things happen in life. You have kids, you have jobs, you have moves, whatever it is. Take an inventory and stock of what's changed. What do you like and what don't you like? And face each other and say, hey, do I still like you? Yes, I do. I love you. And I mean it this time. So, you know, you just keep going after back and forth.
The
after
last
those
time
types
you
of
didn't,
things.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
and that way you can destroy and deconstruct a lot of your fears and construct and build together your faith and game plan where you want to go. Just be intentional with it. I would also say Christ was transparent with us. He said that he called us in as friends and he's kept nothing secret from us. We don't have to look for esoteric knowledge or anything. He's laid it all out in his word and it's accessible for us. He's Emmanuel. He's present with us. So be transparent with your spouse or your significant other, because you don't want to get into a situation where they don't trust you. You don't have secrets and hold stuff back from them. Be accountable to them. Integrity filled. Say what you're going to say, mean what you're going to say, and do what you're going to say. He was full of integrity with us, and we should be the same with our spouses. And that way you don't get into a lot of those bad seeds, whether it be finances, outside relationships, and things of that nature. I just think that, and going back to what you were saying about praying together, the family that prays and praises together, that's the one that stays together, I believe. Amen.
Hmm. Amen. Well, let me just end with this, because I know the realities of it is that when we're dealing with relationships and marriages in particular, the reality is that they're not all perfect, and none of them are perfect, and they all have struggles. Every single one of us do. Whether you're a pastor on staff at Central Christian Church or whether you're not is really irrelevant. We all struggle. And it's okay to do that. What it's not okay is when you hold that back and you try to keep it a secret and hide it to the point where your marriage is in so much of a shambles that you're signing divorce papers. Because in my ministry experience, that when you get to the point where you're trying to counsel families and relationships that are at that stage, it's too late. It's just too late. And so now is the time for you to be growing. Now is the time for you to be addressing challenges in your marriage. Now is the time for you to be addressing hurts and difficulties in your marriages, not after it's too late. And so I really encourage you to do that. And I want you to think about some of the resources that we've got. In your bulletin, on the sermon notes, there's a list down at the bottom. One is our equipping classes. There's one called The Beautiful Design. There is too much in this issue to deal with in a 40-minute sermon, and I'm already taking you long, right? So there is way too much, and it is a rich topic, and then we've got some phenomenal curriculum that we're going to be going through called God's Beautiful Design, and I really encourage you to look at that equipping class on Sunday nights. Here coming up in the next couple weeks. Also, there's a list of books there that I would really encourage you to pick up as resources. My favorite out of that list is Tim Keller's The Meaning of Marriage. It is a phenomenal book and really lays out what it looks like for us as believers and how we are and how we are to live in our marriages according to the design that God has given us. And then two last resources that I want to give you. One is something called A Weekend to Remember. And really, if you are a family or a couple, and you know that you just need some help, and it's early on, but there's some issues, some struggles, Weekend to Remember is a fantastic time for you to just get away alone and let the Lord work on some of those issues. There's two dates, one February 23rd and 25th, and then March 9th and 11th up in Kansas City, I believe. And if you go onto our website and get information about that, we actually have a code that gets you $100 off. And I know Lauren and Joanne in particular have worked with Weekend to Remember for years, and I know it's been very beneficial to many, many marriages. And so really highly encourage you to do that. And then lastly, I would say this, is that there's an email that's going to come up on the screen here in just a second. Just connect at ccc.org. If you are in a struggling marriage, even if it's small, will you please just reach out? You can do it anonymously. You can send an email and say, hey, we're just looking for some help. Pastor Jeff is going to be navigating this email and the emails that come in, and we want to connect you to pastors and elders within our church that want to walk with you in those things and help bring healing and reconciliation before it's too late. And so if that's you, you don't have to stand up in front of the congregation. You just need to email to connect at ccc.org, and we can walk with you in that thing. And then I'll also say this. Look around this room. Men and women who have walked down the road of marriage for years, some of you 30, 40, some of you 50 years, you have unbelievably valuable knowledge. Please do not keep that to yourself. Reach out to the younger couples and bring them into your worlds and mentor them. And younger couples, would you reach out to the older generation and listen? They've been walking down these paths and they know a lot more than we do about what this looks like. And we should be asking for their advice and be pulling from that well of wisdom. It is an unbelievably valuable thing. So, as we close, I just want to thank you. I'm glad you came. I know this is a different format. If this is your first time with us here at Central Christian Church, I'm so glad that you came to spend this morning with us. I'd love to have the opportunity to meet you if you've got some questions about us as a church. After I pray, I'm going to be heading into a room right out these doors to my right, your left, and just encourage you to come chat if you've got some questions. Even if you don't, I'd still love to meet you. It's just an opportunity for me to get to know you and vice versa. And so right after service, I'll be out there. Let me pray with us, and then we will dismiss. Father, thank you, first of all, for these three families that sacrificially have given of their time this week to think about, to be present. And Lord, I know that's not always an easy thing. And so I just pray a blessing upon them. I ask, Father, that you would just find favor upon their families and their relationships. Pray that you would continue to allow them to be strong in Christ and Christ alone. And that through that, Lord, they would continue to bear fruit of the life that you've promised as we seek to live according to the life and the design that you've given us. Father, I pray for the marriages across this room, for those many of which I know are struggling. Father, I pray for reconciliation. I pray for boldness to step out and get help and to dig into some of these resources. And Father, for the singles in this room, regardless of what age they are, Father, would you lead them to look rightly at the type of spouse that you desire them to have? And not only the type of spouse that you desire them to have, but the type of spouse that you desire them to be. And may you begin to challenge them even now to grow in those things. And Father, that in that, that Father, in Central Christian Church, we would see thriving and healthy, godly families and marriages that we could build on that foundation. We're so grateful for your word and for the guidance that we get through your spirit and through it. Father, we just pray a blessing upon this body, our family, and the rest of our day. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Church, God bless. We hope to see you next week. Have a wonderful one.